Hi, everybody, and welcome to Lecture 57 in this Ancient History program of History at Our House for the elementary class. Today, we are going to talk about the Athenian Golden Age. We're going to talk about the time in Greek history where the Athenians, having successfully stopped the Persian invasion, set about getting on with their lives. We know that they did things like other archaic peoples, which is to say, build empires and treat each other roughly, and they couldn't get along with the other Greeks, and there were a lot of problems there. But that is not the thing that is exciting and beautiful about Athens. So what is special and historically important about Athens is not what they did that is the same as everybody else, but rather what they were able to do that was different. Something that they were able to do at the same time as they were doing the stuff that normal people do. And so it's kind of a fascinating story, because while we are talking about the Athenian Golden Age, I'm going to introduce it today, we're going to see that while the rest of history is just kind of still happening, the usual sort of stuff that we were setting up yesterday, the fact that a war is coming between Athens and Sparta, that we're not looking forward to. That's too much like regular history. But in the meantime, the Athenians are going to do something very exciting. And I think the best way to capture what it is that they were able to accomplish in this period that is called the Golden Age is to show you a painting. Well, you know, you guys know how much I love history through art. And so I'm going to go ahead and reveal the painting here in just a second. I kind of had a few too many windows open, so I'm going to quickly clean up my desktop, and then I'm going to show you the screen in question. All right, so let me do it now. Share my screen. Yeah, I think this painting captures the meaning of the Athenian Golden Age better than any other possible representation. Because, well, I'll ask you guys first before I say, does anybody know what the title of this painting is? It's one of the most famous paintings ever created, that's for sure. So that's why I'm asking, because you might at some point have ever heard of it or seen it. So that's why I'm going to let you guys try to answer. So, Opal? Yeah, I didn't think your audio would be back that easily. So good luck continuing to work on that. And so Opal types, the School of Athens. And that is the right answer. This painting is called the School of Athens. Now, does that mean that this is a school back in ancient Athens? Actually, no. This is not meant to show us what Athens was like. It's actually quite different than that. It's much more interesting than that. Over here in the right-hand corner, which I'm going to zoom into and then highlight for you guys. Probably take a second for your screen to adapt to that. Over here in the corner, we have the artist who painted this painting. It's a self-portrait right inside the painting. And he painted this in 1509 BC? No. Of course not, right? 1509 AD. His name is Raphael. It took him 2 years to do it, 1509 to 1511. And he painted this for the Pope, the leader of Christianity. And the reason for painting it, well, was to teach the world something really important about the ancient world and how great it was. Now, why would somebody in Italy, which the Pope lives in Rome, I hope everybody knows that, right? Why would somebody in Italy in 1509 want to teach people about how great things were in ancient Athens? And he would call the painting the School of Athens. What would this be a part of that you already know about? This part of history where people... 1509, hell, that's not that different from 1492, is it? Right? What part of history is this from, Sigourney?
Renaissance, it means rebirth.
Okay, right. So the rebirth of these ancient Greek ideas in the time of Raphael. See him over there now, tucked in the bottom right corner? And there's some other characters over here from the Renaissance as well. And, well, this painting is called, though, The School of Athens. So what Raphael is saying is that the men of the Renaissance went to school... Where? What was their school? Patrick is frowning a little bit. He didn't quite get the thrust of that question. What he's saying is that Athens is their school. That's why this painting is called The School of Athens. He's saying that the Renaissance was time when the world went to school in ancient Athens. Went back to Athens and learned from Athens. Now, you guys know how to analyze art. In this School of Athens, which characters are the most important? What was he saying about the School of Athens? Using your skills of art appreciation, which characters in this painting are the most important? And why? Who are the main characters, right? Is what I'm asking. Patrick?
Those two people there?
The two people in the center, absolutely, right? Why? Because they're in the center. And why? Because all of the lines in the painting point to them, right? It's kind of fun in Renaissance paintings especially to enjoy the fact that the lines in the painting all point to the important things. So lines in the bottom... Lines in the top, and so on, right? See the lines here created by the tiles in the floor? They all point the same way. Then we have the flat lines. Guess where they point? Right, there's a flat line over here, too. Look at that. Isn't it amazing how the artist created this scene? And all of the lines, including lines of the tiles at the top and so on, all point to the same thing, the center of the painting with these two men. And these two men are among the most famous men of ancient Athens. Their names are Plato and Aristotle. Let me go ahead and type that into the chat box for you guys here. The one on the left, who's pointing up, I guess I'll zoom in there, is named Plato. And the one on the right in blue, see, he's pointing up with his finger, right? That's Plato. And the one on the right is evidently younger. He's got brown hair, whereas the other guy has gray hair. And he's kind of pointing downwards as Aristotle. And these were the two greatest philosophers of ancient Athens. All right. And so, well, what is this artist saying? This is an artist that's painting a scene of the world and something that's important in the world. And he's saying that the Renaissance is a time when people went to the School of Athens. They learned something from Athens. And then he says, well, of all of the things that they learned, well, the things that they learned from these two men, Plato and Aristotle, are the most important of all because he's placing them in the center and he's making them the most important characters in history. Well, Plato and Aristotle are known for teaching a subject. Really, they are the two greatest examples of it in the ancient world. And the subject that they taught was called philosophy. And the way, this is from a Greek word, like so many of our good words, right? And it actually breaks down into two other words, the Greek words philos and Sophia, which is why Sophia is such a nice name for a girl. Anyway, so philos and Sophia, does anybody know what those two things mean? Is basically the definition, a good definition of the word philosophy, and it means the love of wisdom. Philos is love, and Sophia is wisdom. The love of wisdom. So Aristotle and Plato taught this subject. Well, they studied it. They really, in a way, invented it, created it, for the first time, really created really complicated philosophies. And the goal of what they were trying to teach people and why they are featured here in the center of the painting is that their idea was that if human beings could clearly think about the important things in life, they would be able to understand them well and lead the best life possible. That if human beings could clearly think about the subjects that are important and use logic to understand them, that they would succeed and lead the best life possible. So that's what Raphael is highlighting here in his painting, is he's saying that that's what Athens taught the world. How to learn to live a good life. Well, what was it? What were the things? What were the parts of this solution that the Athenians had that they said, all right, here are the things that you have to do if you want to lead a good life? Well, one of them is, well, everybody here is going to recognize it, super important. They said that the first part is education. The first part is children have to be educated. Why do people spend time teaching you stuff? Why are you guys learning grammar? Why are you guys learning how to write? Why are you guys learning literature? Why are you guys learning mathematics? Who decided to do that? Ancient Egyptians didn't do that. Ancient Mesopotamians didn't do that. It was not common for people anywhere to do these sorts of things. But the people of Greece, and especially in Athens, started to say, well, this is something that everybody should do. That if we want to learn to think clearly about the world around us and come up with good answers, we need to educate our children. They need to learn subjects like reading and writing. They need to learn arithmetic. They need to learn music and poetry. They need to learn these subjects to help them understand the world. And then when they've spent a lot of time learning those things, then they can learn philosophy. They will have the tools to go and learn the love of wisdom as adults. So that was part one of the plan of the Athenians, was start with education and then move up to philosophy. Well, and then what else? Well, sorry, there's a distraction here. Another part of what the Athenians thought was really crucial for human beings was to learn literature. Now, I'm sure everybody here studies some literature, some forms of it, as part of your education. What is it? What's literature? Well, what's your favorite book? Somebody can tell me that. That's probably an easier question. Tell me what your favorite book is that you've read in the past year, maybe? What would it be? Patrick doesn't seem to have a favorite one. What about some of you older, upper elementary students? What's your favorite book? You guys don't have one? That's a shame. Oh, okay. I don't know why nobody wants to raise their hand or answer questions today. Instead, all I'm getting is chatting. I'm not a big fan of chatting. I don't know what a mango-shaped space is. That's interesting. Julia says, a Den of Thieves. Ooh, that sounds like a cool title. Julia, what is Den of Thieves? Oh, your throat hurts. Oh, gosh, I don't want to just have a quiet class. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, all right, so anyway, well, think about your favorite story and your favorite characters and what you enjoy. That's going to be some example of literature. So literature is fiction. It's stories that are exciting and that inspire us. Okay, so Julia says that she's learning a story about the French Revolution, the Den of Thieves. All right, that's going to be a good one. Later on, and when you're older, if you haven't already, you can learn another one called The Scarlet Pimpernel. That's going to be a fantastic one for you to learn. Patrick, what about you?
One of my favorite books is Harry Potter.
Ah, that was an example I was hoping people would mention, right? Harry Potter. Which is an exciting story about a young magician, right, who's going to learn to become a hero. And, right, those are examples of literature. So, literature is storytelling. The Greeks, starting with Homer, we saw this painting of this storyteller and the Greek people assembled around him. Okay, they were interested in stories. And they very much enjoyed having stories presented to them as plays. There were many famous Greek playwrights who wrote wonderful plays, and the Greeks really enjoyed them. And they told stories that had important morals, right? Oftentimes when you are reading a story, the story has a message. It tells you something about life. So I don't know what if you could summarize. Patrick doesn't, you haven't finished Harry Potter yet, so you can't necessarily tell us what is the moral of the story of Harry Potter. Or what is the value of it, what you are learning from it. But there's always something there that inspires us. And that's what's wonderful about literature. So the Greeks were excited about that. And they also thought that visual art was really crucial for inspiring people. This is something else. Well, it's much easier to show in a class like this than literature. A great example of the Greeks and how excited they were about visual art and what it could show you. Let me show you an example of it here. I have to put this other stuff away, pardon me. Here was an ancient example of Egyptian art. Everybody stuck. Not very realistic. You can feel the people stuck in the stone and they're very rigid. And they can't even really move. Can you feel how weighted down they are? And it's just, it doesn't feel very natural. But instead, the Athenians thought, we need visual art that will inspire us and show us what it means to be a human being. Aha! Completely different way of looking at a human being. This is an Olympic athlete. Right? And what do you see? You see a human being with muscles and they're real and he's in motion and it's a very natural pose and he's very strong and he's very focused and you can sense that he's going to do what a discus thrower does in the Olympics. He's going to launch this disc and he's going to achieve something impressive, right? The Greeks wanted to see the human form celebrated. They wanted to be inspired. They wanted to be inspired by literature, and they wanted to be inspired by visual art as well. And The other thing that they wanted to do was, well, we could go back to, I can't remember now. Oopsie, pardon me. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, right. Now back here, I was a little bit rushed this morning and I can't remember which one of these guys are the historians. I'm going to have to look it up and get back to you over here. But the other things, one of the other subjects that the Greeks were excited about in the Athenian Golden Age was the study of history. And the first of the Athenians who created history was a man named Herodotus. And Herodotus taught the Greeks the story of their own society and the story of the Persian Empire. And he said, the reason why we need to do this is because it's nice to be inspired. We want to learn things like literature and we want to look at beautiful art. But we also need to understand the world around us. How did it come to be the way that it is? How can we do that? We need to study it and we need to learn history. So far, what do we have the Athenians doing? We have the Athenians coming up with philosophy. We have the Athenians wanting to educate everybody. We have the Athenians wanting to learn literature and look at beautiful art. And we have the Athenians wanting to learn history. All of this is part of what Athens taught the world. We do it now. We look at history. Well, we're learning history. This is history at our house. We look at art in history through art. How do we do it? Why do we do that? Because the Athenians taught us all of this. That is the meaning of the Athenian Golden Age. They were the first people, even though all the other stuff was going on, even though these wars that they were fighting and all of these terrible things were going on, the Athenians were still learning how to do these things. And in the end, we have two men, Plato and Aristotle, are going to teach this subject, the love of wisdom. What did it do? How does it matter? This painting shows us. Here we have Raphael tucked in the bottom corner, looking out at us, and he is saying, how did I learn to do this? How did I learn to make this great painting? Where does the Renaissance come from? It comes from Athens. This is us as human beings going to school in ancient Athens. So, as we go through the story here, well, we'll learn a little bit more about philosophy. We'll learn a little bit more about some of these subjects as they are being taught. We will see that the Greeks, as they were living through the challenges of wars and regular stuff, well, they would still do philosophy and they would still do history. And, well, that didn't stop all the other things from happening, but it added a new piece to the way that they were living. And strangely, that's the thing that changed everything else for all of us. Not the wars. The wars is just people killing each other, right? It's just violence. It's just the same stuff that we saw in Egypt, the same stuff that we saw in Mesopotamia. But what we see at the same time is that the Greeks are trying to understand human life in a new way. They're trying to learn about life in a new way. And they're trying to understand the world and live a better life. They taught us to do that. We are here because of them. We, every day that we assemble here, are in the school of Athens. All right. So, tomorrow we'll get on with, sadly, what was going on at the same time. More wars. It's pretty sad. And we're going to see that, well, it was hard for the Greeks to stay true to everything that's beautiful that we've learned about them. And unfortunately, it's going to start to go downhill. But at least they were able to do this very shortly. Create this for a little while and teach the rest of us to do it too. And ever since, people have been looking back, like Raphael, and they have been saying, we know how to do this because of Athens. We can be thankful that Athens taught us how to do this. All right, guys. Well, I know we've got people who are sick with sore throats, and we got people who don't have audio today, and we're having a lot of challenges today. So it's just Mr. Powell mostly talking. I wish it were otherwise. But it is what we could do. So good luck to us feeling, those of you who are going to feel better soon, I hope, and those of you who are going to resolve your technical issues. Good luck, everybody. And so talk to you tomorrow, hopefully. More talking. Bye.
Hi.